At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Which Texans have the most to prove? 713-780-3776. Get to that 90 seconds. 2239, die a hero or live long enough to become a villain. Springer left a hero. Bregman is going down with this ship. It's a fair text.
Yeah.
Now, you would think leaving in free agency would make you the villain, but... I mean, Astros never gave Springer a competitive offer. Yeah, I mean, they never really gave him a competitive offer. 2702, like Springer's personality better. Bregman cries at every strike that's not perfect. Some bad calls, yes, but taking a backwards K is never okay. I agree with this. We see this is the whole robo zone, whatever you want to call the strike zone graphic that you see on the K zone, the strike square, whatever you call it, whatever you call it. This is the problem with the strike square era. Is that we no longer get upset at players for taking a two-strike pitch that is too close. Like the old school mantra, if a two strikes on you, you got to protect. And we don't see that anymore. And until there's a robo zone, you better have the mindset of two strikes and you better protect. So I understand where 2702 is coming from. Is it a little bit get off my lawn, old school thought? Yes. But until baseball adjusts to it, I think it's fair to have the old school get off my lawn.
Yeah, you're right. It's a built-in alibi. It really is. It's a built-in alibi where they can go, and what are the first thing they do, and Bregman does it a lot too, is go to the iPad. He wants to go to the iPad to verify that he was right, the umpire was wrong. But at the same time, it doesn't rectify the problem that you're still out. And from his perspective, he's got a great eye. But, yeah, I mean, we were always taught, choke up, make contact. You got to stay in the at-bat. And it's a very valid point that a lot of guys just mail it in going, he got it wrong, I was right, and I'm not changing my zone.
Yeah, the choke-up thing's very little league. Like, the big leaguers don't need
it. I'm not talking about it from that. I'm just saying, he doesn't have to choke up all the way. But Rizzo does it all the time.
I think Rizzo just chokes up, though. Does Rizzo, increase the amount of choking up with two strikes, or does he choke up all the time?
No, he chokes up with two strikes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of little leaguey.
What's his name from the Mets, the second baseman, does it? There's several guys that do it. Where they shorten the swing and they choke up on the bat with two strikes just to make contact.
Yeah, I think it's pretty little leaguey of them. Protecting, I agree with. The choking up, they're professional ball players. I don't think you need to do the whole choke up thing. Maybe shorter to the ball. Definitely protect with two strikes, which is kind of an antiquated thought now because RoboZone. And until there's RoboZone, I think that you should have that mindset. 713-780-ESPN. Which Texan has the most to prove, or series of them. Who on the Texans roster has the most to prove in 2024?
To me, it's a no-brainer. To me, this starts with Kenyon Green, and there are other guys you can throw on the list for, honorable mention, but a guy that was taken where he was taken in the first round that has done basically nothing but looked like he's been less than average as an offensive lineman at a position that's had of extreme need for this offense, particularly this year with how they've improved just about every other position offensively, it's Kenyon Green. I love the fact that you've heard that he's been working out in the gym more. He's tightened up his body. He's changed his number. He looks different. He looks stronger. He does all those things. Well, let me see how he pass blocks, and let me see how he can handle the position that he was drafted to play and understand how important that is to this offense and how much it hurt them when he wasn't able to play the last couple of years. I think it's definitely Kenyon Green, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kenyon Green's going to have to be very good for me to forget Kyle Hamilton. And I hate that for Kenyon Green, but it's the truth of the matter. It's the one move that I wish Caserio would have back. So there's that working against him. I hope that he turns into a good player. Went to school, you know, locally, whether it was at A&M, Atascocito, which my old stomping ground. So I'm rooting for him. But it's hard to ignore the fact that probably would like to have that draft, or at least that part of the draft, to do over again. Instead of trading down, maybe you just take Kyle Hamilton. Certainly on the list, Jonathan Alexander of Houston Chronicle listed a few players, too. Kenyon Green was at the top of his list. I think he would be at the top of most people's list. The next one's Jalen Petrie. How much do you think Jalen Petrie has to prove in 2024?
To me, the one that I was thinking about more than Petrie was Pierce. And those two guys that excelled in a year when the team was really bad, Petrie was the guy that gave you all kinds of excitement on the defense. Pierce gave you it on the offense. From a Petrie perspective, no, he definitely has some things to prove because he definitely regressed and took a step back. But at the same time, I think that everybody believes that he has enough ability as a football player that he's going to get better. And with the guys around him and the players to work with for another year, I think that he is going to improve, mainly back of the defense coverage, things like that. We know he can hit. We know he can tackle. But I believe that he's going to get better. But I can understand where he's on the list.
Yeah, I was both of them that belong, and both of them are. I would say Petrie's 2023 was disappointing. Mm-hmm. I think people expected more from him, especially with a step up in terms of who the defensive coaching staff was. Not to say that Lovey was bad, but you step up whenever you hire DeMeco Ryans from San Francisco, who was bringing over the top-ranked defense in the NFL. And it's more just new school, modern, with his principles and practices and things like that. So I think it's fair to have Jalen Petrie on the list of most, needing to improve the most. I think that I have confidence in Petrie. Like, I have confidence that Petrie's going to be a good player this year. Because whenever I watched Petrie on the field last year, it wasn't like, well, this guy's getting burned in coverage, or this guy doesn't have the speed to keep up, or this guy's missing tackles. Where I noticed him screwing up and his missed assignments was he's going the wrong way in coverage, or he's not reading the zone perfectly, or he's covering, the in route instead of sticking with the deep route. And it's like, those little mistakes are more mental mistakes than they have anything to do with physical traits. And I think that being in the second year of DeMeco Ryans, that all of those missed assignments will become fewer and fewer.
Can I throw something in there and you see what you think? I think his angles were bad sometimes too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when reading a play, I think he kind of read the play correctly, but he took a completely awful angle to where it was either it got behind him, or the fact that he didn't get where he thought he was going to go because of the angles that he took. And I think that you can work on that. I think that a healthy Jimmy Ward last year probably would have helped him a lot more in terms of understanding DeMeco's system and some of the things that you mentioned. And that was unfortunately not the case. That would have helped him in a lot of ways. But I believe, like you, that he has the football ability that he can improve. I think from the Pierce standpoint, the thing is that he had such a hard fall off. And now because they don't have a legit bona fide number two running back just yet, the opportunity is right there for him still. As bad as he was last year, as much as he fell out of grace with this offense, he could do it. I just don't know if the way he runs, his running style, and his ability to adapt is going to allow him to do what they expect him to, the number two running back, to do.
I think it's more important for Petrie to be good than Pierce to be good.
For sure.
Petrie's one of your starters, and then if you don't use, if Petrie's not your starter anymore, it means he's being beat out by a rookie. Whereas Damian Pierce, yes, you use your backup running backs quite a bit in the NFL. Do we even know he's going to be the second running back on this team, or is it going to be a Jawar Jordan? But then you also traded for Joe Mixon. You readjusted his contract. I think Petrie's more important than Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
I have more confidence in Petrie than Pierce, because Petrie, to me, again, was more missed assignments, mental stuff, bad angles. I think some of the bad angles were because he's missing these assignments and he's trying to catch up. Whereas Pierce was just a scheme misfit for me, and I have a hard time believing he's going to have any sort of success in year two. Now, if you kind of change his role, or instead of being like a featured back or the thunder to Mixon's lightning, not that he is lightning, and instead he's like a goal line back where he's coming in on second and one and you're not even trying to read the hole. It's not the zone blocking scheme. It's more, you take the ball, you give me 1 yard. I think he can be successful in that type of role or gimmick in this offense. But I don't think Damian Pierce is going to be a good NFL player again until he's out of this scheme.
I think that's probably fair. He's got a battering ram mentality when he runs the football. Yards after first contact is there. I think he's strong. He can do those things. I would venture a guess that I don't think the number two running back for the Texans this year is on the roster yet.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think there's a real chance of that. I would put it at 50-50. Eh.
I think it's 60% or more.
Yeah, I mean, same ballpark. I do think that's very much in play. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Which Texans have the most to prove in 24? Pena, you're in the hive of the bees. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, Joe, you took my answer on Kenyon Green, but I'm going to hit y'all with something wide left to left park, all right? So, look, my two guys that have something to prove is simply C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. They had a great first year together, but let's see if they can do it again together the second year. I want them to prove that they can do it again. That's all. I know they had a great year last year, but I want them to prove it again. Thank you. Have a great day.
I mean, I wouldn't put him at the top of the list by any means, but I understand where you're coming from, Pena, because of the fact that now that Nico got the money, there's gonna we know how it works. Everybody's going to be watching and scrutinizing a whole hell of a lot harder to see if he can live up to the contract that he signed. From a CJ perspective, a lot of people, rightfully so, after his first year and probably the greatest rookie season as a quarterback we've seen, to put him in the top five category, the top 10 category of quarterbacks, and expect that kind of production again. But I believe that both guys are going to be just fine and do exactly that. So I don't have the level of concern as I do with the Kenyon Green, where I think there's a legit chance he could absolutely fall flat on his face again.
A lot of people in the text line are saying C.J. Stroud. This texter saying C.J. Stroud, are we worried about a sophomore slump? This other one, are y'all at all concerned about a sophomore slump from C.J. Stroud? I even saw some people yesterday not liking that C.J. Stroud was on that Million Dollars podcast and that he was talking too much and had so many hot takes. And I'm like, what's like, I like quarterback confidence. Like, we talked a lot about Anthony Edwards in this playoffs, and he's a dude that's very confident. Like, I'd rather my guy be confident. And, I mean, I don't think that Stroud's talking too much. Like, do you want it to go over the top? No. I see where those people are coming from. I don't think Stroud's going over the top, though. But I've seen many people say, like, are you concerned about a Stroud sophomore slump? Stroud's talking too much. He's getting too big of a head after a rookie year. I'm not there, but I have seen the discord. Or the discourse.
I've seen it, too. I think, was it yesterday when people were putting out about what's going on at minicamp? And I had some friends of mine say to me, Stroud might fall off the planet. I mean, we don't know. I mean, look, he's throwing interceptions at it's freaking mini camp in June. Like, relax on that. From the standpoint of everybody's going to learn a lesson as they get older and more mature. And in his career, he might learn, hey, maybe I shouldn't talk as much because it can be scrutinized. And the things that you say on podcasts and on the internet have a long lifespan to where it can be brought up against you. The Rodgers stuff, whether like it or not, whether agree with it or don't, it'll come back up. It's going to come up because you play the Jets. It'll probably come back because Aaron doesn't take too lightly to that stuff too. But you live and you learn. I don't think from the standpoint of ability on the football field and what he showed when he should have shown if he was overmatched or if he was going to have problems in the NFL, it would have reared its head and been a glaring weakness for him last year. It wasn't. I don't expect a sophomore slump. Everybody struggles in this league depending on what defenses you see. I just don't believe he's going to fall off.
I mean, everything's possible. So, like, you can't completely dismiss it. But, yeah, I'm of the thought that I'm totally okay with where C.J. Stroud's at. I'm not worried at all about him being on podcast and state. Is he opinionated? Sure. I don't think it's over the top, though. 713-780-ESPN. Who else belongs in this conversation? Who has the most to prove in 2024? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Allstate Siding and Windows. Allstate Siding and Windows, they're absolutely fantastic, and they take care of everything for you when you are looking for windows or siding. They get it all done. They are loyal to Houstonians. They've been in business for almost 50 years. They've been loyal to ESPN 97.5, and they're going to take care of everything the first time. They did it for me. They came to my house recently. They put in new windows. The windows are unbelievable. Sure, it's great because it looks like they completely upgrade the curb appeal and the look of your house. More modern, fresh, clean look. Fantastic shiny windows are great, but the most important thing is they're going to protect you against all the elements. They're going to keep the cool in the summer, they're going to keep the heat in the winter, and they're going to protect you and be strong in hurricane seasons. And on top of everything else, they're going to reduce your energy bills by up to 40%. absolutely a game changer, a winner, and a reason why you should explore it. And the reason why I tell you to explore it is because it's not going to cost you anything to have someone come out from Allstate Siding and Windows and just look and see what you're dealing with. See what you have to deal with, and then they can help adjust for you. It's absolutely free. AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com right now. Check it out, because between the siding and the windows, they are absolute experts at their profession, and they want to share that expertise with you. And that's why I speak for them, because I personally had work done from them, and I believe that the job that they do, their dedication to their craft, is second to none. I believe that you should check them out if you have any kind of window or siding issues. If you don't, and you're just thinking about, well, now that you hear me speaking about it, maybe there's a chance that I should look into that. Do it right now, because it's absolutely free to have them come to your house and have them set up an appointment and basically say, are you looking for both? Are you looking for siding? Are you looking for windows? And then go from there. Depending on what you're looking for, they are going to make sure that you are taken care of 100% of the time. Check them out. Go online right now, AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
King of Texans. He's a big Texans fan. King of Texans on the Twitch. You Texans fans are getting set up for Watson 2.0 with this child. They'll be blitzing him more this year, guaranteed. I hope they do. CJ Stroud was way better against the blitz than he was zone coverages, so that would be nice.
I mean, you can hate on him all you want. The guy showed you every single thing, and we talked about this during the season last year. Every time somebody had another concern, another list that had to have another box checked off of what he possibly couldn't do, he did it. And he's shown you everything you need to see that if they had to make a decision tomorrow on locking him up as your franchise quarterback long term, I don't think there'd be any qualms or reservations. The guy's going to continue to get better. The guy is going to continue to improve, and he loves the X's and O's. He loves the game of football. And yeah, you can if you have a problem with the fact that he's outspoken on podcasts and things, that's one thing. But to look at him on the football field and think that he's going to look overmatched or he's going to struggle, it's possible. Yes, you're right. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I am curious about the whole contract thing, because his agent's David Mulligetta, and David Mulligetta likes to do outside-the-box things. I wonder if we're looking at – I've thought about this, that we're looking at David Mulligetta trying to get a contract for a rookie quarterback faster than anyone else.
It's possible.
Because like you said, if the Texans were to have their hands forced tomorrow, they probably have no choice. Mm-hmm. And David Mulligetta has been known whether it was Deshaun, whether it was Ramsey in Jacksonville when he showed up to camp or OTAs or whatever, I think it was training camp, in the Brinks truck. Like, David Mulligetta is known for some nasty, shady stuff. It would not shock me if Stroud has to have another good sophomore year, obviously. It would not shock me if David Mulligetta tries to get C.J. Stroud paid faster than any rookie quarterback's ever been paid before in NFL history.
The interesting about that, too, is the fact that Mulligetta, when they did the interview with him, he hated the fact, and he thought that it was unfair to be the guy that had the reputation as an agent of being able to get anyone out of their contract, no matter how many years they had left, too.
Mulligetta thought that was unfair?
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, it's kind of a bad rap, and he didn't like it. Well, it is what it is. You mentioned some of the guys. I mean, quarterbacks and otherwise. He's been able to do what we thought was impossible to do, which is get guys with multiple years and big money on their contract out of their deals and in different spots. From the standpoint of the comparison, yes, to your point, I believe he could be that guy to start doing that. Because, look, he looks like a hero with any player that he gets a deal done with. No matter what the public perception and the media perception of him is and the general managers and owners, he's doing what he's supposed to do for his clients. And so that's a great look. He'll probably get a lot of clients because of it. But from the standpoint of saying that he's going to be – that CJ is going to be like Deshaun Watson, well, instead of the whole rub downs and massages and all the other crap that you've seen and heard with Deshaun Watson, what's the worst can happen? That CJ's outspoken on podcasts and things? He's a straight-laced dude that loves the game of football, and everybody says he can't stop watching film and studying tape, and he does it on the field.
You said yesterday the only quarterback he really messes with is Matthew Stafford, though. So, like, which is true? Like, he says he watches all his football, but he said he watches a little Mahomes.
Yeah.
He said he watches Stafford and no one else, sometimes a little Mahomes. So it's kind of a contradictory statement. Just, I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm not
saying
that.
Why? Because he watches a ton of tape that I said?
I'm not saying to you. Like, I'm saying that everybody says that, you know, Stroud watches all this football, but then we heard the podcast yesterday. The only quarterback I watch is Matthew Stafford and a little bit of Mahomes. So how much football is he actually watching?
But he's watched, when they talk about defenses he's going to face, the fact that he's in the film room, the fact that, you know, that you've heard the stories from Ohio State too, that the offensive coordinator didn't call plays. He didn't think he knew ball and knew X's and O's. So he kind of basically tuned him out and just went right to Jason Day and, or not Jason Day, but Ryan Day. Was it Ryan Day? And that was his main guy to talk about the plays and the playbook and the philosophy.
Yeah, maybe it's, hey, I'm watching film and I'm watching the defenses I'm going to play. I'm not actually watching games like that. I could see that being the case. Grinding on coffee and whiskey, my kind of guy. He can talk all he wants. He's confident. He's confident in his abilities. We'll see if he backs it up or not. 713-780-ESPN, who has the most to prove? For the Texans, 3311, another one on CJ. CJ's doing too much. He's too accessible and making too many scorching hot takes. He does have some scorching hot takes. That mm-hmm. part is true. Mm-hmm. I listened to most of that podcast yesterday on my drive home. I still have a little bit left. But he's got some opinions on things. There's no doubt about that. He's not always, like, even like what they should be teaching in elementary and stuff like that. He's not always wrong, but you can tell his thoughts are on the fly and not well thought out. I think they are thought out. He'll voice his opinion, but I do think they're thought out. It's like his brain is on a speaker. That's kind of racist. Defenders going to want to Caitlin Clark him next season. Who cares? Like, here's the thing. Do you think defenses in the, like a defensive player in the NFL, let's throw out who's a really good sack getter? Like, who's really
Micah
good?
Micah Parsons.
Let's throw out Micah Parsons. But let's say they don't have a relationship.
Right.
Do you think Micah Parsons is going to want to sack a quarterback more because he said something on a podcast or just some random guy who doesn't say anything on a podcast? No. The best players in the NFL are hunting sacks no matter what.
You don't think that guys want to go get Mahomes on every single play because he's Pat Mahomes, regardless if he did anything outside of the game or talked mess or not? Like you said, the best quarterbacks in football are the guys that they want to get every quarterback in football. That's how they get paid. That's how they earn their salaries. That's how they can maintain their positions. But even if you're outspoken or not, if you're one of the better quarterbacks in the league, there are guys that save their gloves or tack them on the wall or do things when they get sacks of the biggest names in football to remember who they sacked. That's an honor and a privilege given to those that can play the game at a very high level. If they're hunting C.J. Stroud, they're supposed to.
Flimsy says it's literally the off season. I don't care if he goes on podcast in the off season. 1565 Branham is wrong on this. He watches his favorite quarterback. I bet he watches the upcoming games against QB. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably, I don't watch NFL broadcasts. It's probably I'm watching all the defenses we're about to play. You're probably right. I'll concede defeat there. 9198 CJ was having a barbershop culture conversation on a podcast not meant for you guys that don't get it. That's kind of racist to us.
Wow, yeah, it was.
That's racist to us white guys that we're not meant to. I understand. I got it.
I got it, too. I didn't say I didn't get it. 3% of me got it. But he's going to. It's not going away next week because he said it, and now it's going to run out of shelf life. It's going to be brought back. It's not going to be forgotten. And believe me, just specifically on one of the quotes we played yesterday or two about Rodgers, it's going to come back up again.
Yeah. maybe he's talking to the textures and not us. 5798 Stephon Diggs has the most to prove. He's playing for his next contract.
It's fair.
I listened to that Stephon Diggs press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
I like him. I like him.
I thought it was a little weird. I was going to ask you about that before we got to him doing the podium yesterday. Why hadn't he talked until now? It doesn't seem like he had anything but good things to say about the Texans and CJ and the opportunity. Aside from traffic and missing his exit, I would think that he wanted to talk, and that was the first time he spoke since he joined the team.
Maybe he was just not available. Maybe, like, because he didn't go the first round of whatever it was, minicamp or whatever, he wasn't there.
Right.
So maybe it was just the fact of him being accessible.
But normally you have a press conference from the jump when you sign, and he didn't talk.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't here. Maybe he didn't want to come to Houston for a moment, or he couldn't, or whatever. And Caserio talked about, too, he was, we're not an organization that parades around our new acquisitions, which is not really true.
It's not true.
It's not really. Like, it might not be his priority. It may be as much for the Texans as it is other teams. But the Texans do parade around their new acquisitions.
I'm not sure if it's a league rule in the NFL or not, but I think when you make a trade or an acquisition like that, I think you have to have an media availability or some kind of a press conference.
I've never heard of that rule.
Whether he has to attend or not may be different, but the GM is supposed to speak on it, possibly your head coach. I know in the NBA that it's like that. I don't know if that's the, like I said, I don't know if that's the case in the NFL for sure, but you would think when a transaction like that with a player of his magnitude comes in, I mean, he was talking about missing exits in Houston. He was in town. You would think that they could have called something, put something together to say, hey, he wasn't available the minute the trade was made. He's here in town now. Let's get a session.
Yeah, I thought it was weird how long it took, too. I don't think it's important, but it was weird. Ocho, now I liked everything that he had to say. What you say and what you do are totally different things. He seemed very mature. He was very thankful to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Talked about like his steps and like, you know, just his goals and some of like his philosophies. I was really impressed with Stephon Diggs. That was the most I've heard Stephon Diggs talk. Quite frankly, like you always see these little viral things, or you see his mannerisms on the sideline, and yeah, you let it like judge the character of a person. And not to say that you can judge the character based on somebody's press conference. I think that's silly and overrated. But I was really impressed.
But from a maturity standpoint, what you bring up is the biggest thing: the fact that he was able to, whether he believes it behind the scenes or not, to go out there and compliment the Bills and Josh Allen and just say, "Hey, you know, basically that's behind me now. I'm moving on." That's, some guys can't do that.
Yeah, I was cool with it. I liked what I heard from Diggs. Again, I'm not putting a whole lot of weight on a press conference, but I was really impressed. Ocho, Brandon, are y'all going to discuss what Mark Spears said about Stroud and the challenges of ball distribution? He basically said the trade for Diggs was dumb without actually saying it. Isn't Mark Spears a basketball guy?
I was going to say, isn't that the guy that stirred up all the Caitlin Clark stuff today? And
Mark Caitlin Clark today. He's a basketball guy. Why are we talking about Mark Spears and his thoughts on C.J. Stroud? I don't understand that, Ocho. Like, I don't care what I don't care what Mark Spears says at all. Secondly, I do not care what Mark Spears has to say about the NFL.
I think he fell asleep on the air in an interview one time on the Highway to Hell.
Some of the best do that, though.
He's probably talking about Marcus Spears.
That must be it.
Oh, yeah,
who's a former football
good
player.
Call.
Yeah, yep. It's Marcus Spears.
You can certainly be critical of the Diggs trade. I think it's totally fair to be critical of trading a second-round pick, which you assume is going to be very good because Minnesota's not going to be very good. So I think it's fair to call it, let's say, a top 40 pick, somewhere between 33 and 40. I think it's fair to say you shouldn't have traded that for a guy that's only going to be here 1 year in a receiver room where you have a guy that you're willing to spend top 7 money on. Yes, the prices are going up. A rookie who is very good but hurt. Another, like John Mechie, they're talking good things about John Mechie. You still have some veterans that you signed, Noah Brown, Robert Woods is still under contract. I think it's fair to criticize the trade. Absolutely. Absolutely, Ocho, I think it's fair to criticize the trade. But I'm not that concerned about ball distribution and making people happy. Now, I don't care about feelings as much in sports, and maybe that's a weakness of mine. Maybe that's a blind spot of mine. I'm willing to admit that. But I'm not really concerned about a receiver chirping or getting mad in this offense.
No, I think that you're trying to win football games. You're giving your quarterback we just got to talk about C.J. Stroud. His best chance to succeed is having a way better receiver room than he had a year ago. You and I have discussed this. I'm leery of the pick you gave up for Minnesota because I think it's going to be very high because Minnesota's going to suck. But I also don't believe that the right move for me would have been to cancel out the last year and to give him the money up front and to just make it a one-year deal, which basically makes him a rental, which now that you wrapped up Nico, the odds are you're probably not going to re-sign him and you gave up a pick that high. But bringing him in for this season when they've done so much to kind of be in go-for-it mode with the free agents that they also acquired in the other trade they made with Mixon gives you and your quarterback and your offensive coordinator the best chance to succeed. So, yeah, there's a possibility that he's gonna be upset if he doesn't have big numbers because he's playing for another contract, but so be it. You have a way better head and shoulders receiver room than you did a year ago, and when we talk about the offense now, we're only concerned about one position on the offensive line because they're so strong everywhere else. That's what you want.
If you didn't bring Diggs in, though, I'm still not worried about the wide receiver room.
You shouldn't be.
To play devil's advocate. So, like, did you add to a like positional group that you didn't need to add to, and was the cost of doing so too much? That's where the question is. And I think it's a fair question. I think it's a good question. And I think that it's probably – it depends on who you're asking. If you're asking Texans fans, or like, screw the picks, give me Stephon Diggs. If you were to ask, like, rational football fans nationally, I think it'd be split 50-50.
Yeah, I think and real true football guys, draft guys in football rooms would have told you too, hey, that's a lot to give up for a second round pick that could turn into a really, really, and if we're guessing where it's going to be, if it's between 33 and 40, that's probably going to be a longtime starter for you at some position, assuming you know how to draft. Is that enough to give up for 1 year of Stephon Diggs? That's why we questioned it. I questioned it personally when the trade was made. I think that for a year's time, he's going to be a hell of an asset for an offense that's got a ton of them. But if you're asking me, is it worth what the second round pick could be? And we do this all the time with the guys that could have been in trades previously. It looked like it at the time, but what if the guys that you gave up, or in this case, the guy you gives up, ends up being one hell of a football player and you had Diggs for 1 year? That's how you can criticize the trade first and foremost.
Well, I think people would counterpoint that and say restructuring his deal to make it a one-year deal, you're going to get the most out of him in that 1 year.
Okay, fine. But at the same time, if you're getting the most out you can get out of Stephon Diggs for one season, no matter how much that might be, is that enough for you to go far enough and feel like it was satisfying, especially if you're considering and weighing the option of the guy you gave up ends up being, I don't care what position he plays. I mean, he ends up being a 5-7 year long-term, really good quality football player starter for you.
Now, you're okay. There's two things there. One, you're guaranteeing you're going to hit on the pick, which is never a guarantee.
Sure.
And now you're adding 5-7 years and you're talking about a second contract. Like, you can go out and sign it. Like, if you're going to look at the draft pick and the length of time they're here, you can really only look at the first 4 years for a second round.
Fine. Okay. But I'm just saying, for his first contract alone, that he ends up being a really solid piece, starting piece, a starter, and a good piece for your football team.
You have to hit, though. It could be
right.
It could be Ross Blacklock.
I get that, but I mean, I have more confidence now in their ability to find quality football players since I've seen full Nick Caserio drafts. But you're right. There's the possible to miss too, and that's why. Look, we can have the discussion. I just think, to me. And maybe it is, too, that I felt like with Tank and with Nico, and then they could have drafted a wide receiver as well, that room still would have been way better than it was a year ago, more options for CJ, and you didn't lose the second-round pick and take the risk of having Diggs for a year. But it seems to me like they felt comfortable doing that because they want to go for it. They don't want to regress no matter what the variables are with schedule and other things in year two of this kind of complete rebuild.
Would you have made the trade?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I don't think I would.
Yeah. I think it's fair to have that take. I probably lean on the side of doing it. The only reason that I lean on the side of doing it is because you have a rookie on the rookie contract, and you should be super aggressive with a rookie on a rookie deal. If this was year five of Stroud or a new contract to Stroud, I'm not doing it. And if it was further along in Nico Collins' career and Tank Dell's career, no chance I'm doing it. This is the perfect storm only year I would ever have made this type of trade. And I like, and is it too, like, too risky, or is it too much of value that you're giving up for 1 year of a guy? I think it's totally fair to say that. I'm willing to do that in the current scenario and situation that the Texans are in, largely because of Stroud's contract.
And that's fair. I wouldn't have made the deal because there were other options for you, whether it be in the draft, whether it be in free agency, you could have made that. And then if I'd have known that they were going to do the restructure, if I knew all the other things too, that's where I was like, wait a minute.
I don't hate the restructure. Like, I kind of like.
I understand you're playing. He's playing for his. He has to play for it. He's got to behave himself.
You maximize the year you have Diggs.
Yeah.
You get the most out of him. You get 110% return as opposed to 2 years of an 80% return.
I just like the possibility of having more than just the rental, but. Again, that's me. That's why if I had the choice to make, I think there were other options. You didn't have to make the trade. I'm excited as hell about the offense this year. I just think he's one and done.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Coming up next, our Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be great. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, look, it's raining again. It's been raining all day, and maybe that kind of puts a monkey wrench in your plans of trying to get some golf in or hit the driving range. Maybe the range is even closed. That's why you got to consider checking out X Golf and Katie. There's a million reasons to check out X Golf and Katie, but for me, it's because they have the greatest, best, most accurate golf simulators I've ever been on. Even the putting and chipping is all world, and it's fantastic. You can play your own golf ball and put them in the simulator if you'd like, but every shot is calculating the distance, the spin, the direction, so you can hone in all your clubs and play better golf. And you can play at night, and you can play when it's raining, and it's fantastic. And it takes about a third to a quarter of the time as it would take you to play 18 holes on a golf course, because you're not driving the cart or walking to your golf ball and doing a lot of the extra time that it gets consuming in between shots. You and your buddies can get a round of golf in less than an hour and a half, And then you're in one of the better sports bars that you're ever going to find because of the fact it's clean. Tons of TVs, including some of the simulators. If they're not being used, the screens can be used to show games. And the food is fantastic. The drinks are outstanding. And it's conveniently located right off of I-10 and 99. It's fantastic. Check it out today. Go online. X-Golf Katie. Tell them I sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Can you dig it? Houston, get ready to rumble with the Hall of Fame on ESPN Radio.
That's right, Booker. We're bringing the heat Tuesday through Friday right here on the Houston airwaves on 97.5 and 92.5.
We've got the exclusive scoop on wrestling, boxing, and everything in between.
Join us for the smackdown of sports talk and don't miss a moment of the action.
The Hall of Fame. Now, can you dig that?
Sucker!
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
It's time for Buzzkill Branham.
What? I didn't know I was buzzkilling today. Justin Jefferson. You hear the narrative with Justin Jefferson? He's resetting the wide receiver market. No, he's not. He is the market. When you're the number one or number two best player at your position, you're not resetting the market for the rest of the league. You're setting the bar for which everyone else aspires to be. Outside of Justin Jefferson and Jamal Chase, those are the only two players we're talking about when it comes to being the market. Everybody else can, like Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Those are the guys that are setting the market for future contracts. Justin Jefferson and Chase, they are the bar. They are the market. No one else compares to those two.
Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. No, Tyreek's a little older.
He is a little older, for
sure. So I would say he's not even in that tier.
But ability-wise, performance-wise, numbers-wise.
But we're talking about a guy getting a contract and, like, the length of the contract, how much money they're getting in the contract. I don't think Tyreek Hill is even in the conversation with Jefferson and Chase. See, he's third, yeah, but he's not top two.
I hear what you're saying, but I do think this, when we were talking about the actual deal that Nico signed, the concern that I brought up was the fact that wherever he stood currently the day that he signed the contract, that You maybe save some money because of the fact that in a year's time, if he has a similar season than he did even a year ago, even if he's not a top two, that he's probably going to project to be high 20s to scratching the surface of 30. That's just the market. You're right. Justin Jefferson is on a very, very short tier of limited options at the best receiver in football. But I think that it is realistic to think that, again, it goes back to the Stafford conversation. He was once the highest paid player in the entire game. He never deserved to be that high, getting that much money. And it happens regardless of how great you are.
Who's topping Jefferson, Chase, and then maybe Hill?
Money-wise?
Yeah.
Let's see. Because I think that as we get more guys that are going to come free agents, I already think that Hill's already kind of trying to get another deal. But in trying to think of who's the, you know, T. Higgins is going to get a ton of money.
You're not mentioning T. Higgins in the same conversation as Jefferson.
Ability-wise, no, but money-wise,
he's not coming close to Jefferson and Chase.
I think T. Higgins will get more money than Nico Collins.
I don't know how Nico Collins is part of this conversation.
Because the way I framed it, responding to what you said by saying the big thing about, because you had brought up the fact that if you just tag him, that
this has nothing to do with Justin Jefferson being the bar versus resetting the market.
Okay, fine. We'll just do it that way then. The big thing to me is that it does reset the market in the fact that Justin Jefferson, no matter how great he is, the agents are going to come in with that as a negotiating tool. And because the market is set by the next guy that gets the next biggest deal, that everybody's going to use that as their barometer and their bar to try and get the exact same thing and more.
They are the bar. 1711, if the top end increases, generally so does the mean. I think that bodes well to your side of the argument. I tend to agree with that, actually. I just think that Jefferson and Chase are the bar. Like, they're not. I don't think that bar is getting passed anytime soon. Like, not in the next 2-3 seasons. What is the market for CeeDee Lamb? Lamb's going to get a lot of money. I don't think he's going to get Jefferson and Chase money, though.
I knew I was forgetting somebody because it's not football season.
He might get more than Tyreek.
CeeDee Lamb is going to get more than Tyreek. CeeDee Lamb is going to be in that conversation with those two guys. CD Lamb is getting 30 plus. There's no doubt in my mind.
Here's the second thing I want to buzzkill when it comes to like looking at players and the amount of money and resetting the markets. And I'll concede that Nico Collins was like they got it in early, and if he was top seven money in a year, he's making more, you know, dollars per year. Trying not to say AAV here. The biggest problem that I have with that, though, is why do we look at dollar and not percentage of the cap? Percentage of the cap is far more important than the dollar. Because, oh, well, you know, they're going to save money on Nico by getting the Nico money done now. Okay, cool. But the cap's also going to go up. So, yes, Nico's money would go up if you'd waited a year, but so is the salary cap. We spend too much time focused on the dollar versus the percentage of the cap. And the percentage of the cap is really what the general manager's working against. That's what's going to prevent him or aid him in signing other players or fitting contracts into the cap. So I have a big problem in football that's a little different in baseball because there is not a salary cap. There's a luxury tax, so maybe it factors in a little bit too because that does climb. But the percentage of the cap matters way more than the total dollar of a contract.
It's completely valid because of the fact that when you think about just the two teams in Texas, and we're talking about CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, it'd be one thing if Dallas said, hey, our quarterback's on a rookie deal. I'd rather start paying that money now because I keep him around for my quarterback and I don't have to pay the big dollars. But when you're thinking about the fact that you have to re-sign CeeDee Lamb and you're facing a Dak contract that's going to be upwards of $60 million, It's a big cap percentage to have to try and swallow, as opposed to the Texans doing what they did with Nico while they still have CJ on a rookie contract, and it makes it easier. So it's a very valid point.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Stephon Diggs resetting the market after he wins the Super Bowl with CJ. I like that joke. I think CeeDee Lamb is going to be in that Jefferson Chase range. I mean, define range. I don't think he gets more than Jefferson or Chase. I don't think that Lamb is going to get more than Justin Jefferson. Now,
I think he may get more than Chase.
I mean, Chase hasn't done the deal yet, and Chase is better than Lamb.
Yeah, but, well, first of all, if Cincinnati lets him go, which I can't see them doing, but Cincinnati is notoriously cheap.
So you see Jamar Chase signing a team-friendly deal?
No, not team-friendly. I think that, you know, he's going to – I don't think Cincinnati's going to blow it out of the water. I'm curious to see how far another team would go, and I believe that Dallas with Jerry Jones knows how important C.D. Lamb is, and I think that he's going to throw a ton of money at him.
Yeah, I think the Bengals will re-sign Chase. I think it's why they're not going to pay Higgins and et cetera, et cetera. Be curious to see if Chase gets more than Jefferson. I think
I agree with you. I think Chase, he's a more physical receiver, too. He's got great hands. I think Chase is a better overall receiver than CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb could get more money than Chase.
Why?
Because of the fact that I think that Jerry Jones will overpay to keep him.
Okay, but if the Bengals don't overpay Chase, you're looking at either he gets the tag or he enters free agency. And if you enter free agency, you're going to get paid more than not entering free agency.
You are, but that's what I'm saying. I think really it depends on who signs first.
Yeah, it might be. I'm with you on that. It's going to be interesting to see the whole Lamb deal. Because I wonder if Jerry Jones, like, if it is going to be in Chase and Jefferson territory, does he feel like Lamb is in Chase and Jefferson territory when it comes to, you know, production on the field? His production's great, but in terms of talent. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. You get paired with 100 random people. If you're better than all of them at something, you get $1 million. What are you choosing? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
All right. You get paired with 100 random other people. If you're better than all of them at something, you get $1 million. What are you choosing?
Honestly, in thinking about this, I narrowed it down to three because I'm thinking
that
about...
That many?
Yeah, the randomness of 100 people. Like, what would I have the best chance to win? Because literally, I'm not sure that I have anything that I think of myself in that way to say, yeah, that would be that. But I think that the three that I narrowed it down to was bowling, was musical knowledge of like song title and artist, and then it was the one that I came down with, which is drawing and artistic ability and being able to like take a picture or anything and being able to reproduce it and make it look like it was. My dad was a commercial artist. All of our family members got artistic ability, and I feel pretty confident that I could take a picture or a drawing and I could do a pretty good job of reproducing that to look like that. So that's, I think of the three, that's probably my best chance to have a chance.
I have zero skill. I'm a one-trick pony, and I don't do the one trick very good. So to
you
be
created
paired,
Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. So to be paired with 100 random people and be better than them at anything is probably not going to happen. But if I got paired with 100 random people, and if I'm better than all of them, I get $1 million, what I would choose is tic-tac-toe. I am tied for the greatest tic-tac-toe player in the world. I learned the system whenever I was 8 years old from my grandma. And since then, I have not lost a tic-tac-toe game in my life. I am tied with a few other million people as the greatest tic-tac players this world has seen.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm very, very good at tic-tac-toe.
You're good at TikTok too, but TikTok tic-tac-toe is...
Well, I'm not good at that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not so good at that anymore. But tic-tac-toe, best in the world. Me and millions of other people. Cannot lose. Cannot lose. Can't do it, won't do it. Best in the world at tic-tac-toe.
I question this.
Why?
Because Brandon Baby's going to start playing.
Yeah.
Are you going to be the dad that lets him win?
No.
Really?
No chance. I'll teach him the system, and if he wants to tie me, he can tie me. But he ain't winning. I'm not going to lose a tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
Never. Never going to lose a tic-tac-toe. Brian, what are you picking?
I've actually got a few things.
Oh. Look at the big brains on Brian.
I mean, no. I mean, it's more about my confidence in that the pairing of 100 people, no matter what you pick, there's a pretty good chance that 75% of them aren't going to be very good in whatever specialty you're picking. The few things that I would pick, some of them are video game related. Like, I think in a pairing of 100 random people, I would stand a pretty good chance of beating any of them in Madden or NCAA football, especially now with NCAA football coming back.
But you don't have the experience in the new one, though.
No, but most recent NCAA, I actually wrote down NCAA 14, which was the most recent one before the one that comes out next month. Joel?
Don't you think a lot of dudes play that regularly?
No. I mean, on average for the entire population, I mean, no. I mean, a lot of people play it in a certain demographic here in the States, but overall for the world population, no.
Even if you took 100 people that walked through these doors in this office.
How many people at this radio station play Madden regularly?
That would be a high, and I would say these 100 would be a high 100.
Maybe Joe.
Like if you took 100 people in our office pool versus like the random 100 people around the world, the percentage of Madden players in our 100 person pool is going to be extremely high. And even then,
high. We're talking about three people, like in this entire office.
And I'm sure you have people that have dabbled. Like I'm sure Blankers has played Madden rare every now and then. I used to play it a lot whenever I was like in school. So you have a good amount of people that have played it. But to play it at that level, you probably have what, one or two competitors?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's kind of my overall point. Scoring a boxing match. I think I could do that better than, you know.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who would follow the sport could pick the same thing, but doing it for USA Boxing for several years, I think I picked up the ability to, in a pairing of 100 people, score a boxing match better. Hell, some of the people that get paid to do it.
Nice flex.
Yeah, a nice flex there. I think certain, like, Joel mentioned like music trivia. I think there's certain TV shows I think I could do pretty well, better than the average person, better than a random pairing of 100 people. Specifically, I think the shows I watch the most, like as far as repeats, would be Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. And I think if you put me in a trivia contest for those two shows, I think I could annihilate anyone I'm paired with. And the last one, I think Jeremy's going to push back on this, but I think if I'm in a pairing of 100 people, I think I can make breakfast tacos or quesadillas better than most people.
Really?
Yeah, I do it fairly regularly. I cook a lot, and those are the two things I like to make the most. So I think I stand a pretty good chance because, I mean, how many people actually cook or even like to cook? I don't think the average person does. So I think in a random draw of 100 people, I would stand a pretty good chance to outcook them in those two items.
Keith, who calls our show, he'll send me his food on Twitter. And he asked me to grade his meal, which they usually aren't very good. He sent me a quesadilla the other day, and people got mad at me whenever I said that that's a children's food. quesadillas.
Does he cook it or where he eats? He's eating it.
It doesn't look like he does a whole lot of the cooking. Okay. Like the most cooking I've seen is he buys like those prepackaged meals and like you throw it into the oven for a little bit.
Cooking.
Yeah, it's not cooking. Like, that's probably the closest to cooking that he gets. All right, 713-780-ESPN.
I have one that I would give you credit for. I don't know if it's realistic or not because it's one I thought about too. Colleges of NBA players.
I don't know.
There was a buddy of mine in the office that we used to challenge each other because, like, that was a thing that for years and years and years, I'd know just the most random, and it's gotten worse because I'm not that close to the NBA anymore, but I used to be able to where I felt like there was not a college I couldn't name for guys on rosters in the NBA. And I would think because of the amount
probably not basketball as well. I'd probably be like good at baseball actually because it's kind of more niche and like people don't follow college baseball nearly as much.
Call both, yeah.
So that would probably be a bigger advantage than the college basketball. Houston,
I mean, I would put you in calling games of 100 random people.
That too.
Yeah. I mean, anybody can do that. It's easy. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. You get paired with 100 random people. You're better than all of them at something. You get $1 million. What are you choosing? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.